Blog Talk Radio.
Classic hymns of the church. Outstanding. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I know who that is. That's That's got to be Steph McLeod. Oh, that's Sister Marie. Well, Saints, welcome. Welcome to a post-Mother's Day end time news report. And listen. If you survived Mother's Day, you will survive the Great Tribulation. I can tell you that much. Welcome to all of our precious brothers and sisters. Like I said, I hope you had a fabulous, outstanding Mother's Day. And I hope you treated Mama well, took care of her, doted on her, treated her like a queen. Because if you didn't, I can tell you where you're at today. You are in the doghouse. You're in the doghouse. Well, as for me, I learned many, many years ago, my wife used to say to me when we were first married, oh, don't do nothing for Mother's Day. Don't go out of your way. No, don't fuss. Don't fuss over me. Really? You really? And so the first couple of years, I didn't fuss. Told me not to. Boy, did I wind up in the doghouse. Listen, you better fuss and fuss again and fuss some more and make Mama happy. She deserves it. Mama deserves it. She gave me four beautiful children, she pushed them out, and she carried them, she nursed them, boy, I'm telling you, mamas are superheroes, so I hope you treated Mama well, and this way it saves you a trip to the Philippian jail. All right, without any further ado, I think I covered everything. Oh, wait, if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. If you remember Sister Linda from North Carolina, who our dear sister who passed away recently, this was the first time in her children's life that she was not there. And so on behalf of Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church, we sent those two children our love and let them know that we're with them. And if they need us, just reach out to us. I'm sure it was a painful Mother's Day for them. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, we have a Bible Institute here. If you want to train for the ministry, if you want to receive the proper training so that you can serve your brothers and sisters as Christ would have you to serve them, we have a Bible Institute for you. It's no registration fee. There's no tuition fee. Right now we're in the middle of a series where we're talking about biblical vision. What is biblical vision? And I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, The Bible school is humming along, doing well, teaching those things that shall profit the body of Christ, especially those who are being trained to serve the church. So if you're interested in joining the Bible school, just email us at iibms2020@gmail.com, iibms2020@gmail.com, and as soon as you send us the email letting us know that you're interested, you're automatically registered, and then Brother Miguel Rivera will send you all of the pertinent information that you need to have in order to continue with your studies as you join us in the student ranks. Well, that's it. I think I covered everything. My dear sister, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and you, Bromo, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Did they treat you well for Mother's Day?
Of course they did. Figured out who was doing what, once they got it organized, they did well.
Right. Well, I'm glad they treated you well. And like I said, if you can survive Mother's Day, you can survive the Great Tribulation.
Yes, I heard that.
That's it.
That's true. Yeah, that, don't get me any flowers, right?
Right, right.
That's
no, don't get me any. No, don't get me anything. Don't fuss. No, please, don't do. No, no, no. Save the money.
Done that.
Money's tight, blah, blah. And boy, did I buy into that. Dumb me.
All men do. All men
yeah,
do.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, don't feel bad.
Exactly.
Do the opposite.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Do the opposite. Do the opposite. Break the bank.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do
yes.
to make it happen. Do what you got to do.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's
absolutely.
It. So this beautiful rendition of What a Friend We Have in Jesus, that was Steph McLeod, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's an old, 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 old hymn.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I like the instruments he has in there, you know,
yes.
and the sound. It's, you know, it's jazzed
yes.
up a little bit. You know, it's a nice rendition. It's a unique rendition of the hymn.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that's one of the things they're doing over in Scotland, too. They're taking a lot of the old hymns and
right.
Putting a little bit, maybe more instruments, you know, because hymns were just sung at one time.
Right.
You know, so spicing them up a little bit.
Right,
but
right,
not
right.
changing the meaning or the words or
no,
anything
no,
like
no.
that, you know. So it's kind
yeah,
of a
no,
new
listen.
New sound.
Yeah, yeah. The words are timeless. The words are,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're classic. You don't tamper with
right.
the words. Just, you know,
that's
jazz
right.
it up a little bit. Give us a little bit of that Celtic, you know, flavoring, if you will.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's
yep.
it.
I like that.
Amen. I loved it. Right. I it's the first time I've heard of, that song by him.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
of course, I was introduced to him by you. Because
yeah.
I'm not a music guy. I'm not a believe it or not, my wife is into, you know, she's a choir. She used to be a choir director,
mm-hmm.
you know, music, piano, the whole thing. But I never gravitated towards music. I'm not a music person.
Yes.
Now.
I love music.
This stuff I like.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I was raised in a household where there was music all the time. So, you know, I'm particular about the music. And,
right.
You know, I search a long time for different songs and stuff that I like. And I do like the old hymns, but
mm-hmm.
I like the modern sound with them. A lot of them are really unique, you know, with the modern sound.
Right.
Correct. That, you know, so I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, when I go to church, I want the hymns. I don't want the little choruses. I don't want the dopey songs. I don't want to sing something 30 times over and over like if you're brainwashing me, like you're turning the
yes.
little song into a mantra. Don't give me that. I'll sit in the car until your so-called praise and worship is over, and then I'll sit inside to see if the preacher's got anything to say
yeah.
worth listening to. But don't give me one song that you're going to sing 35 times, you know, and I'm asking you to put me out of my misery because I can't take it anymore, you know. This was beautiful.
And it shouldn't be about you, the song.
Yeah, well, a lot of songs in the church, you don't know who they're singing to. Because
yes, exactly.
they don't specify if they're singing to Jesus, if they're, you know, the songs are very
mm-hmm.
vague. They're very
yeah.
vague. And I don't like
yep.
vague songs.
No.
I want songs to be about Jesus, hymns to be about Jesus. And,
that's right.
So that's it. That's it.
All right. That's it. Well okay, before
today,
you tell me.
Yeah, we're back in
okay.
studio today to do this series on cultural Marxism. So
yes.
set us up for this, and we're set to go.
Okay, today we're going to continue the series on the different aspects of cultural Marxism. And I think probably we could finish this today. You know, the audio, we should be good with that. I'm not sure. But cultural Marxism is the changing of culture. And by that, we mean the beliefs, truths, and most things that we hold dear. But the main target for a Marxist is the family unit. That's something they really need to destroy. So it's a chipping away of moral values until you can no longer distinguish what is good and what's evil. And the Bible tells us that they will call good evil and evil good. And that's what cultural Marxism does. It blurs the lines between the two. Now, this agenda in the church setting has been labeled woke Christianity, the social justice movement, and many other things. Now, in the secular setting, it's disguised as the Green Deal, Agenda 21, the Great Reset, and that's only to name a few. Bro?
Right.
Any comments?
Yeah, I mean, the audio that we've been listening to now for 2 weeks, this will be the third week that we're getting into this particular audio, is
mm-hmm.
fantastic. The men who are doing the voiceover, the speaking, the teaching in the audio, do not speak over your head, right? I mean, they make it
correct.
Very, very plain, you know, so simple that you can understand it. Even a dumbed-down
mm-hmm.
generation like this one can understand what the narrators are saying, what the contributors in the video are saying. And this has been a fantastic eye-opener, and it's just awesome. It's just, you know, because they're showing, you know, years ago, you know, back in the 1980s, the Cold War, watch out for the communists, Well, the communists were here and no one knew about it because of cultural Marxism.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
They've changed society.
Yes, they have. They have. You know, it seems to me, going through this, that each agenda that they have creates another agenda. You know, it's just like
right.
this continuous thing. And that's what we're seeing today going on. The other day, interestingly, I heard a discernment ministry, and I'm going to say that in air quotes, say that the Great Reset was the rapture. I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Right.
It's like, well, I guess if you're still here, you know, after preaching for 4 years, you wouldn't be. You know, what else
right.
could you say? But that's ridiculous. That's lack of
right.
research. That's craziness, and that's nowhere in the Bible. I don't know how they came out with that, but, you know, it was, you know, for me, a shocker.
Right.
So, the things
listen.
We covered. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and this stuff is everywhere. It's in
yes.
your schools. It's in your church. It's in your local community board. It's on TV. It's the news networks, you know,
mm-hmm.
are promoting this garbage. It's everywhere. Everywhere.
That's right. And the things we've already covered, you know, the people can go back and listen to, but technically, see, it was political correctness, collectivism, the destruction of American free enterprise, the Frankfurt School, the Federal Reserve, general welfare and its meaning, androgyny, and many other things. Can you think of anything else that I missed?
I can't remember one that you missed, but that androgyny, that's a big one.
Yeah,
right.
It is.
It is. It's a big one.
Yeah.
They try to blur the lines, and you don't know if
mm-hmm.
a man is a man or a woman is a woman, and you're trying to guess, and you're trying to say, is
yes.
he a man? Is he a woman? What is, you know?
Yes.
You know. That's pretty scary.
It's pretty sickening. Yeah, it is. And, you know, schools are teaching this, and that's the scary part. This has been introduced to the school system. I mean, why would – I remember news shows we were doing where, you know, in kindergarten, they were teaching things that we found, you know, appalling in kindergarten back then in news. And we could see this coming down the pipe. You know, what's going on here and, you know, how bad is this going to get? We know that once they open the door, it's hard to shut that, you know, because the flood, it's like a floodgate. They open.
Right.
And I think that's why they're pushing everything at once. Well, in reality, it's here and it's global. So I think the best thing we can do is to try to understand it so we can avoid it in our own personal lives. And maybe to warn others about it that have no idea what's going on. And trust me, there's many people that have no idea. Like that discernment ministry I'm talking about, you know. You know, that's craziness. That's craziness. You don't guess. If you, you know, you do some research. So, okay. Well, last week you said that we stopped at 58:29, correct?
That's correct.
And if you want to, you can that's just an ending of the last segment. If you want to play it, you can. If not, you can go to 101, and that starts the next, it's called the Application of Force. So if you want to bump it up to 101, it's only a couple minutes. And, you know, you won't get the drift if we hear the end of the last one, what we had talked about.
Okay.
So we're going to go from 101 to 114.32, and it's called, this part is called the Application of Force.
Okay.
And there's one thing in here, you know, that's really, really interesting to me. There's a lot of things interesting in this segment, but like I said, we'll go to 114.32, and then we'll talk after, if you want to do that, please. Thank you.
Here it is. No problem.
Okay.
Like the Federal Reserve System, the Congress has been further distorting the letter of its constitutional responsibilities by delegating its power to declare war to another entity, in this case, the President.
One of the great problems the country faces is the cowardice of the Congress of the United States as an institution. It has allowed the President to usurp the war-making power.
Where does Congress get authority to delegate the responsibility to declare war to the President? It's not in the Constitution. This delegation sounds more like an evasion of responsibility for political expediency than the original intent of the founders.
It has resigned its authority. It is frightened of exercising its authority. It does not want responsibility. It does not want accountability.
Article 1, Section 8 clearly states, Congress shall have power to declare war, to raise and support armies, to provide and maintain a navy, to provide for calling forth the militia.
People such as George Washington, Nathaniel Greene, leaders of the army, didn't think much of the militia. The militia came for 30, 60, 90, 180 days, and then when their enlistment time ran out, they went home. They didn't have to stay. They came with sort of an oddment of firearms. Typically, they were firearms that didn't entirely fit the Army pattern. They had different calibers. Logistics problems arose. The men weren't clearly not as well trained as the regular soldiers. They had a tendency to break when the British charged them with bayonets, for instance. So, people like Washington, who was obviously very influential at the time, didn't have particularly good words to say about the militia. So one would have thought, when the Constitution was drafted, the Founding Fathers would have left the militia out. We don't need this. Hadn't proven to be that effective. Or they might have said, well, Congress or the states can set up a militia if they want to, but it's discretionary. Depends on circumstances. They did the exact opposite. They recognized the existence of what they called the militia of the several states at the time, constitutionally recognized. And then the Second Amendment comes along and says it's necessary to the security of the free state. So I would say the Constitution makes it absolutely clear that those entities, because it's not one entity, that should be one in every one of the states, is a key structural element of the Constitution. And why? Well, it's because ultimately, who's the militia? It's the people.
With every shooting on a college campus, the cultural Marxist indoctrinating mainstream media never mentions the true source of the problem, the disintegration of the family unit. Instead, the media pushes the socialist agenda of removing citizens' Second Amendment rights.
Let's go to the Second Amendment, which says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Just take the first clause. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Stop right there. That's the only place in the Constitution where the Constitution says that anything is necessary for any reason. The Constitution doesn't say Congress is necessary, the President is necessary, the Supreme Court is necessary. It doesn't even say the states are necessary. It says a well-regulated militia is necessary. To what? To the security. Well, not just any kind of security, but the security of a free state. And that's the sole purpose of the Constitution in toto.
The way that the United States was set up originally was that the defense of the nation was to be primarily the responsibility of the states. They were to create militia drawn upon able-bodied American citizens within the state. They were to provide their weapons and their training and their leaders. They were to form into a national fighting force, and they would defend the borders of the United States against foreign enemies. But the primary foundation, the element of that, was the militia.
Never stated in movies like Bowling for Columbine, movies funded by cultural Marxist-infiltrated Hollywood studios, is the original intent of the founders that all citizens retain the right to keep and bear arms. More accurately, the obligation to keep and bear arms as part of the militia.
The Michigan militia wanted everyone to know that they were nothing like McVeigh and Nichols.
This is an American tradition. It's an American responsibility to be armed.
I'm sure you guys are the kind of people that people would like to have as their neighbor.
As the Constitution tells us, a well-regulated militia is necessary to secure a free state. Now, some people may disagree with that. And my response is, well, that's a personal opinion. The law is otherwise. The law tells us that this is the principle on which we're supposed to be operating. You don't like that, amend it. If it's there, enforce it. If you don't enforce it, there will be some consequence, because the Constitution is, how should I put this? It's an integrated document in the sense that all of the parts were designed to function with all of the others simultaneously. And if you look at it, there are several pillars to it. There's, of course, the federal government, the Congress, President, and the Supreme Court. There are the states. There are the people as electors. And then there's this group of entities called the militia. And read the Constitution through, and you'll see they're essentially all on an equal plane. They all fit into this structure. Well, if an architect designs a building with five support columns, it's probably because he believes every one of those is necessary. You knock one of those out, or you allow it to decay, and you can pretty much expect that that building is not going to be stable over the long term. Certain kinds of shocks affect it. It's going to come down. Same thing with a governmental structure. Governmental structure was designed in such a way that the people were supposed to play an important role in maintaining political power of military force.
Instead, the Frankfurt School's agenda of injecting cultural pessimism into society continues. Robberies, murder, fires, and now escalating school shootings all contribute to the cultural pessimism and the misguided justification of disarming the citizens.
All right, we're at the seven-minute mark. Do you want to make any comment there? Anything you want to...
Well, yeah. one of the things that you notice here, that it, under the Constitution, it's actually the Congress who declares war. People don't know that. I mean, how many times have we heard that a president has declared war? You know, it's actually Congress who makes that decision, according to this. And I want to talk a little bit about the militia. You know, these governors paint these people as terrorists all the time. They exist. They actually, and I'm not, you know, supporting this or saying, but they actually exist to keep the government from taking control of the people. And the government hates them. Most state governments hate them. But they, by the Constitution, keep the government in check. They're the government in check from trying to take control of the people. So if you remember our governor, you know, she painted them really bad when three of them have been let loose, you know, with no charges, because what they said, that they were trying to make a citizen's arrest. They were planning on making a citizen's arrest of her, you know. And we see them in smaller cities making sure that these protests do not turn ugly. And yes, there are bad people who infiltrate these groups, you know. But I saw people from all different ethnic groups join together in many places when things were going to get out of control. And that was a lot of that was your militia. You know, and most people don't understand that they were actually put in the Constitution to keep the states, you know, the state governments in check so that they don't try to take control of the people. So what do you have to say about them?
Yeah, if you are as old as I am, you know, and you lived through several wars, you know, if you lived through several presidents, you know that the president cannot declare war. He must go to Congress, and the responsibility lays squarely on all of Congress, right?
Yes.
And we've seen certain presidents take certain liberties, you know, and you know, even George Bush 43, you know, when we were attacked on 9/11, everyone's scratching their heads and saying, why is this guy going after Iraq when the Iraqis had nothing to do with 9/11? Why is he going after Saddam Hussein? Saddam Hussein did not fund these people. And we could already see that under that Republican president, and not that all Republican presidents are bad, and not that all Democratic presidents are good. They're all sneaky. They all try to get around the law, right? And,
so
the Iraq War, where we spent billions and billions and billions of dollars for what? Right? For what?
Yeah.
And all of these wounded warriors that we have, and when you watch the television, we're collecting funds for wounded warriors. Well, why don't you go to George W. Bush for the money? Why don't you go to him for the money? He's the one
That's
who plunged
right.
the nation, right? Just go after you know, the terrorist, you know, Bin Laden. Go after him. Right, but you don't have to go after, you don't have to go and destroy the Iraqi nation, the Iraqi government, and then, you know, and then nation build, spending all those years, all that, shedding all that blood for nothing, for what? Mm-hmm. What do we have there, right? The same thing with Afghanistan. What are we doing in Afghanistan? Why are our young men and women in it, for what? What are we there for? And they're saying now, if we leave, the Taliban's going to take over. Well, let them take over. They were in power for thousands of years. What do you care? Let them take over.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah. Let those people settle their own mess. Across the street, when I hear the lady throwing plates at her husband, I don't go over there and try to play referee. You know what I do? I close my curtains and I raise the volume on the TV. That's what I do.
Right.
Let them, you know,
right.
let them
yeah.
settle their own squabbles. Right?
Exactly.
We're trying to police.
Exactly.
We're trying to police the world and you know, stop
yeah.
it already. And so, like you said, we're here to take care of the United States and to make sure
yes.
that these governors don't get out of hand.
Exactly.
That's
and, you know, George Bush now is pushing the agenda of opening the borders. Did you know that? He's
no,
helping
I didn't
them.
Know that.
He's a big, yeah. You got to scratch your head on that one.
Well, I know he's a globalist, so, you know, him and his daddy,
yeah.
you know, his daddy said a new world
yep.
order, so we know
yep.
that they're globalists. Anything is possible with these people. Anything. Anything is possible.
Yes. So he closed the borders at one time and fought a war or wanted to, you know, fought a war unnecessarily, fought wars. We lost people, and now he's opening the borders. Or he's in agreement with that, just opening the borders in the South. So, you know, you got to wonder what's going on, or, well, we know, don't we, from listening to this. But I found that strange. You know, that was a story I read in the news, and I thought,
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we know what team he's on, Team Globalist.
Sure, absolutely.
He's always been on that. Skull and Bones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right,
so,
here's more.
Okay, we're going to 114.32.
Yep, okay.
Okay.
But if citizens ever allow cultural Marxists, such as the Michael Moores of the world, to ban ownership of guns, they will make a grave mistake.
These guys that created the American Constitution, the American Republic, we're looking into the future, and they were concerned about our own government becoming despotic. They could see that. They talked about the possibility of that. How do we prevent that from happening was a major issue of discussion. And they said one of the ways is to make sure that we don't give them a standing army, and the other way is to make sure that the local population was armed. Because if you've got every man... able-bodied man in the country, and women too, armed and knowing how to use a weapon and under training and with their local squad leaders and so forth, their own commanders, there's no government that's in the United States is going to turn against them. So they were very wise. And today, people laugh at that concept, but now that we're losing our liberties, I think the laughter is dying down pretty rapidly.
Observing thousands of years of history of earlier governments, the founders knew that the only thing that ultimately stands between a tyrannical government and the people are weapons.
Quoting Mao Zedong, who in this case agrees with the Second Amendment, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. Where the source of political power is to be is where the gun is. Ultimately, that's the bottom line of force in government, right? That's what government is, the application of force. If the application of force is given to some elite group, they're in control. If the application of force is given to the people, they're in control. If you want a free state, a self-governing state, where we the people do the ordaining and establishing, who has to control the ultimate body of force? It's the people themselves. And that's not a professional army. That's not a standing army. That's something the founding fathers were very much concerned about. They didn't want a standing army.
It thought that a standing army was perhaps one of the most dangerous things you could imagine, because if Washington, D.C., they said if they were to have a standing army, you know what they're going to do with it? They're going to use it. They're going to use it for something. If you get a bunch of soldiers sitting around training, you're going to use them. And they didn't want that, except in a defensive mode.
If people read the Constitution, that we, it's not in a time of war, you have a standing army. When there's no war, you have to abolish a standing army within 18 months. You can have a navy, but no standing army.
Also, never forget the instrument that literally authorized the U.S. Constitution and freed all Americans from oppressive European rule was the Declaration of Independence. This sister document states that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of certain ends, such as the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the duty of the people to alter or abolish it. Alter it means to vote out those who aren't following the Constitution. If such politicians, over time, or unbeknownst to the people, reconfigure the government in such a way as to usurp the rights of the people, then the only choice left is to abolish the government.
So they were acting within the law when they stood on that green, and they believed that General Gage was outside the law. He was an outlaw, that regular army. And that's why they didn't throw down their arms that day. And they opened fire on him.
Now, one doesn't like to think of that as being something that we want to face here in this country. But there are many other problems prior to that that the militia would deal with. And a large militia structure would have a terrific deterrent effect on any people in political life that had aspirations to become usurpers or tyrants. It's pretty hard to overcome a country when 60 or 70% of the people are organized, armed, and trained.
The Second Amendment states that the people, as and through their militia, have the right to keep and bear arms, and this right shall not be infringed.
As individuals, we have rights, and we grant the government privileges. Those privileges are listed in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and anytime we have a justifiable reason and the courage to do so, we can revoke those rights and take those privileges away from the government.
This means that a well-regulated militia consisting of the people, not some distant bunch of federal professionals, has the right to keep and bear, meaning own and keep on their person, guns and arms, short for armaments. These armaments are for use should the people, through their constitutional militia, find it necessary to abolish a tyrannical and suppressive government and replace it with a serving government that promotes the general welfare and secures the blessings of liberty.
There you have it. Don't let them come for your guns.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Once you lose the gun, you're done. You're done as a country.
Right.
And I can tell you that, like, in England, I was reading, well, when did they abolish gun ownership over there? How did they, you know, and I think it was after, I think it was World War II, maybe. I'm not sure. But I think they did that because they said they did it because they were in fear of guns getting in the hands of the enemy, you know, while in the country and causing destruction. So they managed to take away all the guns. And you look over there right now, what's going on. It's unbelievable. If someone breaks in your house in England and you harm them, you can be charged. You can be charged. So you have no defense over there.
I'm shocked.
They can sue you.
I'm shocked that the crime in England is so low. Considering,
yeah.
Considering, because even the policemen, what do they carry, sticks?
Yeah, they do have guns, you know, in case of an emergency. But they, at one time, had to call in, you know,
right,
a force. I mean, the last time we went over, the last time we got off the plane, and, I mean, the minute when we got off the plane, in the tunnel of the plane were armed gunmen. I mean, you know,
right.
Armed police with machine guns, AR-15s
right.
or something,
right,
as we
right.
got off the plane, you know. You know, and they walk up and down at the airport, you know, with guns. So, yeah, they do have them. And you know, but you're not going to find a Bobby in a small town, you know, with a pistol in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
No,
right.
They have the nightstick and mace
right.
and backup and all that,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, it really, you didn't have, you have a lot of petty crime. Be petty crime over there. It was. And you know, they can use other weapons like knives, machetes are big in
mm-hmm.
you know
right.
certain areas
sure.
near
sure.
London, Brixton.
Right. Right.
So you know. But yeah, I think the gun thing, as much as you know, I'm not a big gun advocate, but I can tell you, can surely see that taking away the guns, what would happen? Because that's what Hitler did. You know, he had to get the guns away from the people in order to take control. So
right.
how do you feel about that?
Well, again, like Charlton Heston said, you're going to have to take my guns away from my cold, dead hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know. No,
yeah.
you're not taking... I know where I'm at. You're not taking anyone's gun.
And see
where I'm at. Everybody's law abiding. There's no crime. But everybody has their gun.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody
yeah.
respects everybody. And you know, it's a community, family community.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has their guns. Everybody.
Well, can you see this government, what's going to happen when the government tries to take those guns away from that community?
Well, that's why President Trump was always talking about how the new people coming in will come after your Second Amendment. Right?
Yes.
He was
exactly.
playing on that fear to get people's vote.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come after your Second Amendment. They're going to come after. But it's in the Constitution. I'm
yes.
telling you, there's going to be. Now, what will happen is they'll wait for a new sissified generation to you know, once the old timers die off.
Right.
You know, there'll be a sissified generation that'll hand over the guns, and then it's all over. Game over.
Yep. That's
game
right.
Game over.
That's right. You know, they can't abolish the government. See, like right now, I was just reading a story or saw a video in New York where Cuomo's saying that if you don't get a vaccine, you can't attend a university in New York. You must have the vaccine to attend a university.
Yeah, well, the beautiful thing is there's online school. So,
yeah.
go, you know. Go to online. That's,
yeah.
that's it. I mean, look.
But
they said you cannot attend the Buffalo Bills games unless you have the vaccine. Well, guess what? You're saving $100 per ticket plus $25 per parking plus the food. I mean, so look what you saved. Stay home.
Yeah, you saved. You saved a lot. But what he's done is he's just blatantly stepped on, you know, you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit
right.
of happiness. He has
right.
taken that away. From
right. He's gonna try to restrict, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen is he'll be out of office soon because he's up for election, right? He'll be out of
mm-hmm.
office soon. And people, I'm going to tell you, people up here aren't going to have it. They're not
right.
going to have it. And this is why they wanted to split New York State into two. New York City
yes.
was one state, and upstate New York is another state. That's
mm-hmm.
it. It's time to just divide the state in two and leave the nut jobs down in the south and leave the sane people up in the north.
Right.
That's it.
Yep. Well, our governor's up for re-election next year, and this is going to be tough because she has a black police chief of Detroit running against her who
right.
is Republican.
Right.
And he is well-respected. He is a well-respected
right.
police officer. He has maintained peace in Detroit. When the riots were going on, he just said, no, it's not happening here. Because, you know, that is, if people haven't been to Detroit, that's one of the priciest cities to live in the state. I mean, and it is absolutely beautiful downtown now. It's totally
right.
different. The businesses were thriving.
Mm-hmm.
There's parks in the city. It's clean. It's absolutely
sure.
gorgeous downtown. And, you know, he kept it that way. When things were going on, he kept control of everything. Very well respected. So what's she
mm-hmm.
going to say? Is she going to call him names?
Right.
Is she going to say he maintained, he's very well loved within the state. People like him.
Right.
They think a lot of him. So she's, you know, unless they pull another election thing,
right.
you know.
sure.
I foresee that he could get in easy because he was born and raised there. He understands the needs of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit had needs. It had
right.
it needed businesses. He grew up there. He knows the people. And like I said, he's no nonsense. And I hope he runs. I do, because she's going to have a tough
right.
time. She's done nothing.
Sure.
But march.
Sure.
You know, and dictate. That's all she's done. So if he
mm-hmm.
gets in, you know, hopefully there'll be some changes. But there was a Senate race there where we had a more than qualified young man running who was a black young man, perfect for the job. And he was so far ahead in the race, it was unbelievable. Born and raised in Detroit. Excellent, excellent candidate. You know, business owner, he bought a business. Plus, he was in the military. He was just perfect for, he knew every need in Detroit also. And you know what? During that election, whatever happened,
he was a casualty. He was a casualty like
yeah.
Trump.
Yeah. And he was so far ahead in that race, and within a few minutes, he was
yeah.
behind, just like Trump. So,
yeah.
you know, you don't know what's going to happen, but that, I think the police chief will make noise. He's been a police chief for a long time down there, and he's no nonsense. He doesn't fool around. So, you know, let's hope something else happens. And it's not a matter of him running Republican. It's a matter of him understanding the city, understanding the needs, wanting to keep it thriving as it was, you know. Because, I mean, all the major businesses are there. There's major companies down there. So,
right.
you know, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. Okay, we're moving on, and this is more about the banking system. And so we're going to go from 114 to 32 to 126.05 in this segment.
Here we go.
Unfortunately, negative influences have crept in. Not only has the cultural pessimism and the parade through the institutions attacked America's culture, but our banking system has been hit as well. The Federal Reserve, set up by banking architect Paul Warburg, is a European-style central bank, complete with all the inherent problems of the old world. Banking principles diametrically opposed by the founders. Alien concepts, such as backing money by debt instead of gold. lending out more money than you have in the vault, printing up money so banks can stimulate the very economy they just crashed. All this so bankers can charge more for interest and snap up real estate assets with straw buyers in recession markets. Thanks to the Fed, Congress can bypass the public's representatives and wage war with money that has been literally created out of thin air. Are any of these American ways? Did the founders set up the Constitution so Antonio Gramsci, a cultural Marxist from the Frankfurt School of Critical Theory, and John Maynard Keynes, an economist indoctrinated in the environment of our former enemy, should stamp their war-torn European philosophies into the very soul of our nation? Something isn't right here.
In Keynesian economics, they endorse the Federal Reserve System. And to print money out of thin air is really fraud, because they're stealing from people, stealing the value from some people. So they're completely different. But Keynesianism is not socialism, but it leads to socialism. Socialism is where the government controls supply and demand and prices and the whole work. But Keynesianism allows the market to function to a degree with a lot of intervention, a lot of regulations, a lot of taxes, a lot of planning, and a lot of inflation.
How can the original intent of the founders shine through when our entire economic system and cultural institutions have been perverted by ideologies of a world we worked so desperately to get away from?
The New Deal, like the Great Society and like the universal peace proposals advanced by President Wilson, all of these presidential programs that have expanded the power of government have been the implementation of collectivism in America. Starting at about the time of Woodrow Wilson, the country at that point was pretty much an individualistic country. It was based on the principle of the individual being supreme and the government being the servant of the people. Starting with World War I, starting with Woodrow Wilson, on down through World War II, down through Vietnam War, now to the war on terrorism, all these wars are always used to frighten the American people into accepting the expansion of government, supposedly to protect us against an evil, terrible enemy.
The actual expansion came about through the Supreme Court adding some words to the Commerce Clause. They said Congress has the power to regulate commerce or whatever affects commerce. And that's rather a radical departure from the Constitution, because imagine if you added that those words to every other provision of the Constitution. Why shouldn't you? If you can add it to one, you can add it to others. You have essentially unlimited government. Well, what that has done is it has given Congress the power to control not only all true commercial activities, but all sorts of things that are entirely local that are related to commercial activities. So, for instance, you had the gun-free schools law. Based upon what theory? Well, a gun goes through commerce and eventually ends up in somebody's hands, and there he's within 1,000 feet of a school, 100 feet of a school, whatever the distance is. And so Congress can regulate his possession at that point in time. Well, his possession at that point in time is not a commercial transaction by any stretch of the imagination. How can Congress regulate it? Well, because this implement that he's holding in his hand at one time move through commerce. Well, of course, if you follow that theory out, they can control every aspect of your life. How much cornflakes do you eat in the morning? Well, you eat one bowl. Maybe you should only eat half a bowl of cornflakes. Can there be a statute telling you how many cornflakes to eat in the morning? Sure, because where did those cornflakes come from? Well, they came from Battle Creek, Michigan.
The Supreme Court has perverted the Constitution, making decisions that used to be made democratically at the local level. The Congress has the power in the Constitution, Article 3, Section 2, to circumscribe the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court and say, stay out of that area. That is our area. That is the state's area. You are not to get into that. Judges don't decide these issues. People do.
After the formation of the Fed and selling the public on the New Deal, it wasn't long before Congress realized it had both the ability and the philosophical justification to print up endless amounts of elastic currency, what we call fiat money. It also wasn't long before Congress realized it needed more and more money in order to service the growing addiction of socialist benefits under Roosevelt's New Deal.
The Federal Reserve, when it came in, aggravated all the worst problems of the economy. It's aggravated and caused the Great Depression. It's aggravated and caused the last depression, and it will continue to cause more depression. Before the Federal Reserve, every economic system has ups and downs, but they corrected themselves much more quickly, and they corrected themselves because people were able, had the freedom to shift their attention, to be able to create solutions to the problem, and to be able to exercise their God-given wisdom and intelligence to be able to do business with each other.
Ever wonder why congressmen were so eager to sacrifice tariffs for NAFTA's free trade? It's because tariffs don't amount to much when Congress can print up all the fiat money it wants through the Federal Reserve System. Yes, monetizing endless fiat money was the answer opinion leader economist John Maynard Keynes suggested to Roosevelt in his 1933 open letter. John Maynard Keynes.
I lay overwhelming emphasis on the increase of national purchasing power resulting from governmental expenditure, which is financed by loans and is not merely a transfer through taxation from existing incomes. Nothing else counts in comparison with this.
By these words, Keynes, the most prominent economist of the time, laid out the philosophic rationale for endless government borrowing and endless government spending of fiat money. Roosevelt bit.
Well, now we're addicted. We're addicted to the programs, and even the banking system is addicted to ever-increasing the money supply and artificially manipulating interest rates low. And on the short run, it does seem to help. Just recently, you know, the Fed pumped in $200 billion and the stock market loved it. But in time, when everybody knows they created $200 billion of new money, the value of the dollar goes down, which has happened since then.
Keynes knew exactly what he was doing. No two men did more to destroy the original intent of the founders and set the groundwork for the cultural Marxism and corporate fascism that was to later flourish as competing totalitarian ideologies, hell-bent on destroying a self-governing republic that sought to practice true free market capitalism.
You can go back to a gold standard, say, of 1,000 an ounce. But what do you do if they keep spending and spending and borrowing and borrowing? People suddenly realize that these dollars aren't really worth that much gold, and they will demand the gold.
Sounds to me.
You want to say anything to that point?
No, go ahead, what you had to say.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, they're coming after your gold and they're coming after your guns. Once they got the gold and they have the guns, it's all over.
It is. You're right. You're right. Do you notice under the Roosevelt time it was called the New Deal? Do you see how this agenda just keeps taking on new name?
Sure.
As society will accept it. You know, we have the New Deal, the Green Deal, you know, the Raw Deal,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But it keeps...
Sure.
It just keeps changing names, and that's part of the agenda. You know, as society accepts a certain thing, they change the name of it, so you don't recognize it, supposedly.
Sure.
And we went back to the 1960s, and you could go back further than that, but, you know, you can connect the book. You go back further, it was called the New Deal. That's,
right,
you know.
Right.
And have you noticed that the food lately says fair trade? It's labeled fair trade on a lot of the boxes. Have you noticed that?
No.
You start to look at where is this from? It says fair trade on it. So you're guessing where this is from.
Right, right, right. Right.
Well, look around
you
and eat your food.
Yeah. Yeah, what happens is when my wife goes grocery shopping, she comes back. In order for things to fit in the freezer, she takes things out of the boxes because the boxes are too bulky. So, and then the
That's
boxes go into recyclables. Yeah, yeah.
That's a good idea. Well, I never thought. I'm cramming things in there all the time. So, but you know, this was this dismantling of the Constitution was done by weak and corrupt leaders. They allowed this.
Right.
You know.
Well, listen,
and
they're being bought. They're being bought.
Yeah.
You know, they're prostituting themselves. It's the same thing in the church.
Yeah.
How do you get, how is it that these preachers do what they do? They're prostituting themselves.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Well, in the track right now we're on with the inflation, I just read an article that, coming up here, 40% of your income will be for food. 40%.
Absolutely.
So think about that, folks. With all this spending, with all this giving away money, with all this dismantling of businesses, they own everything. Guess what? Somebody's going to pay for it, and we will in the end, because 40% of your income for food alone, that's going to be really tough.
Right.
For everyone.
Sure.
But, you know.
And again, you see, and again, this is purposeful because that's how they do the wealth transfer. See? How do they get your money? Well, they control the banks.
Yep.
They cause inflation, right?
Yep.
And listen, when these people say free college, there's no free college. Nothing's free.
Yeah, that's why taxes are going up.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's the taxpayer. The people paying the taxes actually pay the government and pay for the people who don't pay taxes, you know, or don't contribute into the taxes, you know.
Sure.
So it's the middle class, and they'll get – once they eliminate the middle class, you have a system – where you have the rich, that's the globalists, and the poor, that's the rest of society, then they have complete control over you.
Right.
And that will happen when you're paying 40% for food if it's available.
Yep.
You know, whatever's available. And, you know, I was reading an article, and a lady said that she came from a communist country. And she said, well, wait until you stand in line for hours to get two basic things that they have available, you know, like, you know, vinegar on one side and maybe something else on the other. And you wait for hours in line to get
that. Sure.
You know, to get just something simple like that. And it's only if they have that available, the government. So, you know, it will be totally different. So go ahead.
It will. Yep. All right. Here's more.
In the state of affairs we're in today, well over $10 trillion in debt, immersed in perpetual wars, getting...
$10 trillion? I can tell this video's old. It's $30 trillion.
Yeah, well, that was just uploaded before, when was it? Was it September? September of last year. Now, when it was done, I'm not sure. But it was only uploaded, I think it was September, October, something like that, of last year.
Right, because it's 30 trillion now. It's 30 trillion.
Yeah, that's how fast everything, you know, all the giveaways. That's
Absolutely.
What happened.
And by the way, it wasn't Obama who gave stuff away. Trump spent trillions also.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So it's Obama, Trump, Biden, all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
It's listen, the spending is out of control.
Yeah.
It's
and there's nothing to back it.
And listen, all of these, and I'm not knocking people to go to, you want to go to college, go to college. But let me tell you, when you're going to go to study, you're going to get a degree, let's say, in ballet interpretation. A bachelor's in ballet interpretation. Guess what? You're going to be flipping burgers at McDonald's. Because when and you'll be lucky if you have a job flipping burgers at McDonald's, because they're taking all the jobs away.
Yes, exactly.
Right? They're taking the jobs away. They got robots for everything now. Robots.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They got cameras, robots, ATM machines. The ATM has replaced the teller.
That's right.
Right? And then when you go to Walmart, you're the robot because you got to scan your own stuff and you got to bag your own stuff. You're the robot at Walmart.
That's
so
right.
they're eliminating jobs.
And
so
they
you're going to school.
They don't need you. They don't need
you.
These companies do not need you. That's the bottom line. So if you think, well, you know, I'll go there and get a job. You know, when they quit with the extra money on the unemployment, people are going to go to jobs. They're not going to be available. And at the end of the day, they'll eliminate those jobs too. Computers will replace you. They will not need the human aspect of society at all. I mean,
no,
they
won't.
Really,
they won't.
Honestly, you know.
That's it. Listen, start envisioning yourself at home. Because already, see, the other thing is, with the shutdown, everybody's getting used to staying home.
Mm-hmm.
So when they tell you you're retired, well, I was home for 2 years because of COVID.
Yeah.
So it won't be a shock.
That's right.
You know, stay home and get your check. Stay home and get, and that's what they, you know. And I saw today on the internet where now they're saying farms are causing most of the pollution. That's a lie.
Oh, yeah. That is a lie.
Now you know what they're doing. They want to target the farms. They want to shut the farms down. So that Mr.
And then
Bill
it becomes
Gates,
private land. Like
right.
if you have
so
a little garden.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. So that Mr. Bill Gates can have the biggest farm in the country.
Yeah.
Right? Why is he
That's
buying
right.
all that land for? Why is Bill Gates buying all that land for? Why?
Yeah.
What is he doing that?
Yeah.
I'm
to
sure
control
he
you.
Will be,
to
right.
control the food.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
all right, here's a little more.
You hear about his divorce here, and I hear it could be an Epstein problem.
Oh, yeah, it is an Epstein problem. His wife wanted to divorce him once she found out he was on the Epstein list.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Oh, boy. Yep.
Yeah, no. No good Mother's Day there.
No.
No happy Mother's Day there.
Oh, boy.
More secular and socialist by the minute, fascist multinationals dominating Congress, that we have allowed serious corruption to seep into the American experiment. We may think we want our independence from Europe, defeated communism, and Nazi fascism. But did we?
We have traveled the road to totalitarianism almost to the very end. Austrian free market economics is really the answer, and that's the system that we should be following. And more or less, even though it was not known at the time our country was founded, it was more or less classical economics and classical liberalism that was very close to what the Austrians teach today.
Tragic that wine-drinking, pot-smoking, angle-challenged baby boomers would so recklessly thwart the wisdom of the founding fathers by allowing their banking system and economy to be so influenced by European financial philosophies. Philosophies that over the past century have created a living hell of endless wars and empires, as we have seen. The intent of the founders was to establish a nation that was different from the ways of Europe. And they did. The United States is different. Not only that, contrary to the propaganda originated by critical theory, it's the greatest nation that has ever existed. America is not a universal nation or a multicultural nation, as CFR globalists writing in Foreign Affairs would have reality-challenged baby boomers believe. It's a distinct nation, distinct with its own language, laws, history, and cultural background. We are different from the rest of the world. Yes, we even drive on the right side of the road because Europeans drive on the left.
And that tells you everything.
That was a dig.
That was dig, right? That was a big dig.
By the way, the English say we drive on the wrong side of the road. They don't say right or left. They say wrong.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It seems like, it really does seem like that when this country was founded, if you go, and you know this from traveling to England, everything's on the opposite. The door handles are always on the opposite side. You know, everything's the opposite. And it's almost like that was the intent of the founding fathers, to make everything exactly the opposite from Europe, you know, or from England.
No.
Change everything completely, you know, the other way, to go the other way in everything. And it is, you know, that's why it's so confusing for people when they go over there. But, yeah, that was a dig. But
big
funny.
Time, big time, big time.
Yeah. Well, I can say that, you know, with this, the rest of this that we're going to listen to, you know, they're still optimistic. I'm not as optimistic as they are. You know, they're going to talk a little bit about politically correct speech with the mainstream media. And then when they get to, so let's just do that until you get to the restoring of the public,
Okay. All right.
So we're going to go, I think it's going to be, we're at 126.05. I think it'll be minus 7:30 on the left, but it's called, this is about politically and the mainstream media. And this is something that you spoke about earlier.
Right.
You know, and yes, they do cover that. So take it until you get to the next subject, which is the last subject.
All right, here it is.
So how come the media seems oblivious to all this? The media that's looking out for the folks never discusses fiat currency, cultural Marxism, media consolidation, Keynesian economics, NAFTA, GATT, WTO, or multinational corporations in any sort of critical way? How come the mainstream media downplays people who protest against free trade, the World Trade Organization, or call for protective tariffs?
We do detailed economic study of the box office called our Report to the Entertainment Industry, where we get the studio heads to come. And the studio heads have been moving toward more movies with faith and values. Every one of the six major studios have started a division to do movies with faith and values. Where the most erosion of values and the greatest attack on values is occurring is the independent film market. Independent films, you tend to have a lot of anti-American films, a lot of anti-faith and values, a lot of anti-Christian films, and they do not do well at the box office. Within the television industry, you find a more of an attack on faith and values, mainly because the television industry is not focused on the vote. You see, in movies, each person votes for their movie. They know that they have to appeal to who's going to vote for them at the box office. You have to separate out the movie industry, which seems to be moving counter to much of the other media.
How come the mainstream media acts as an apologist for multinational corporations?
Now, I want to tell you why the major Hollywood studios are going after the Christian population, or the, you know, the more, what we would call the moral majority, whatever, is because they have the bucks.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. They're not doing it. They're not doing it because they want to restore American values. They're appealing to people
right.
so that these people can come and watch the movies and pay the money. Let me give you an example. Most of the Christian publishers are not owned by Christians.
That's right.
people who are secular have bought Christian publishing houses. Why? Because they want to cater to that population that they had no access to before. They want Christian dollars. Because, you know, listen, if you're only attracting, let's just say you are attracting half of the population, but you can really attract the whole population. Well, what do I need to do to get? Well, start doing movies that attracts that other half that you're not drawing in. Oh, that's all we need. Yeah. So they do these movies, but they're not, they're garbage movies anyway.
Yes.
They're not good movies. They're not good movies whatsoever. But, you know, people go see them. So what are they getting? They're getting their dollars. But they're not doing it because they want to restore Christian values. They can care less. They're only interested in the money.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. That's it. I don't care.
That's right, because, I mean, I was looking at, I looked up, you know, the current, who owns the current media companies, and we know that, like, CNN, Ted Turner originally owned that. And now, if you remember, we did an audio where people were chasing him down after he made a statement or a comment or did a session about depopulation. Do you remember that? You might not, but I do. They were chasing him down.
He was getting into a car. He was getting into a limousine.
Yes.
And he just
said,
just wipe the people out. That's it. Just let's get rid of them. This way there won't be any hunger. There won't be, you know. Yeah, but, you know, the people will be dead. Well, as long as the elites are alive, he doesn't care about, you know, normal people.
That's right.
He owns
CNN, among other things. I mean, he owns a ranch in Montana. I think it's along Montana. It's on the border there. That goes on forever, you know, super
right.
rich.
Sure.
Okay, you have Rupert Murdoch. They're all billionaires. And it's funny because they've all joined together now. You know, along with the TV media, they own publishers, they own magazines, they own oil and gas, they own appliance companies, they own sports teams, you know, and they're all globalists, and they're all on board with the same agenda. So, you know, you want to talk about the Seven Mountain Mandate, they're on board, the globalists, and a lot of them are Zionists. I'm going to tell you, a lot of them are Zionists. So, and we know the Illuminati was started by a Jew. They started the Illuminati. So what can you say?
Look
what
at T.D.
Jakes.
T.D. Jakes started in a storefront collecting offerings in a church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is he doing? What does T.D. Jakes do now? Does he just do offerings? No. He has a clothing line, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The guy has shoes, pants, ties, jackets. He has a clothing line. And who's he getting that money from? African-American churchgoers, men. Okay, so he's now that was money that he did not have in his pocket. So he got into the tailoring business to get that money because black males are going to go somewhere to buy clothes. Well, they might as well come to me, T.D. Jakes said. Then he's got books, right? He's got a whole book thing. Then he's got his multimedia business. Why is he doing movies in Hollywood? Why was he? Because he wants a cut of the market.
That's right.
That's what they do. It's called diversification. They want to have multiple streams of income. They want to have their hands in different things. It's the same thing with the unsaved. The unsaved don't care about Christians, but they'll buy a publishing company because they know that Christian people buy goofy books, like the super squid spirit, you know, sneaky squid spirit, stupid squid, retarded squid,
stupid, whatever.
Oh my goodness! So they're not doing it because they want to restore Christian. They can care less about Christian values. They just know that there's a market of people out there that they're not tapping into. They're not getting their money. It's all business.
That's right.
That's what it is. It's all business.
And these, in the church setting here, what they're doing is they want to be a part, because a lot of them are not Christians. We know that by what they teach and what they believe. And what they're doing, they're a part of this agenda, the globalist agenda. And to be on the top of the pyramid, you have to do those things. They have to own companies. They have to have a lot of money to be involved in this. And where do they get it? From the Christian. You know?
Sure.
Absolutely. So they're all a part of this. They may not be the Bill Gates or the Ted Turners. They may not be that high up, but they want a piece of the pie. You know? They want a piece of the pie. They want to be up, or they want to be one of the leaders in this agenda. And that's why they're all, you know, running this race to hell to be a part of this agenda. That's what they're doing.
Right. That's it. That's it. It's about the cash. Yeah. It's about the money. It's about what they can do. Why is Joel Osteen buying Sirius Radio? Why? Well, because he's trying to get in on the action. He's trying to get richer. They all learn from these. Listen, it's satanic. All of this is satanic. Satan
this is
offering them.
Plantation
the
owners
world.
Of a satanic church.
that's
what they're trying
is.
To do.
Yes. That's what this is. They're chasing mammon.
Yes.
You know? Bill Gates, he's older than me. I always tell my wife, I got one leg in the grave already. I'm going downhill. Mm-hmm. I'm not going up the hill. I'm going downhill, and I'm going downhill fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's life. You know, what are all these old, what is Warren Buffett doing? Buying more stuff.
Right.
Warren Buffett he's almost dead already. But why? Because it's this disease that they have to get more mammon.
Greed.
To have their hands. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it.
And listen, they'll step on anyone to get to the top. And they'll take your money. They'll rob. They'll steal. They'll kill. They'll destroy. Now, who does that sound like? To get to the top. So you're just in their way. You're being used now for the money. Eventually, you'll be in the way. You know? I mean, you're not needed. When they get all the money sorted, you know, between them, they don't need you. They own everything.
Correct.
They don't need us anymore. So that's
correct.
That's the whole thing. And that's true in the church too.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So
all right, here we go.
Okay.
And fails to take a deep look at the endless expansion of government or its secret partnerships with members of the military-industrial banking complex. Instead,
All we see is endless programs threatening the world with U.S. military might. Blonde, aggressive women with plastic breasts. And endless TV spots offering insomniacs pills to cure their cheese and dairy product challenged stomachs. Seems to me, to get away with all this cultural Marxist propaganda, the media must be in on the deal, systematically avoiding certain issues, narrowing the spectrum of speech, redefining words, spinning events, and ignoring, invalidating, and/or blackballing any author, filmmaker, or candidate that speaks the truth.
That's it. That's what they're going to do.
That's true. Yep.
That's what they're going to do.
Yep.
That's, you know.
Well, the next part of this is called Restoring the Public, and this is the last part of it. And I have to say, like I said a little while ago, they are more optimistic about the U.S. than I am right now. Mind you, this is, what, September, October of 2020? You know, I think that we're in the middle of this. I really do. I just think that they have taken over. I'm not sure. According to the history, when you see a nation go down, it doesn't stop and everything gets better all at once. It's when you see a nation fall, and biblically, I don't see things getting better once it starts. Once the downgrade, it's like a rock, like I said, going over a cliff. Are you going to stop it? I don't see that. I don't see it in the Bible. Once it starts, it just snowballs. What do you think about that?
Well,
unless the Lord decides, but I don't see that.
Right.
And I don't see that in the book of Revelation. Once it starts, things just escalate, you know?
Yeah.
And they get worse.
And that, yeah. See, one is the United States needs to be eliminated because it's the only country in the world that is opposing socialism, right? The United States is the only it's opposing socialism. How does it oppose socialism? Well, by its very nature, by the nature of the government, it opposes socialism. Okay, so if Antichrist is going to come, if something's in the way, that has to be cleared out first. That's number one. Number two. Like you said, Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled. So, by America.
Yes.
Bye-bye. That's it. Okay?
Yep.
Number three, there aren't enough people who care about the country. People, it's just like in the church. People see the pastor stealing the money. People see the pastor sleeping with three or four women, but there's not enough of them that care.
That's right.
And that's why the church goes down the toilet. And the same thing with America. There's not enough people that care. They're not enough. Right?
Yeah.
So
they've been brainwashed by the media. They have, to believe. You'll never get the truth from the mainstream media right now. You will not get it. I don't care. Everything's amplified to gear around this agenda. You know, everything's put into place for this agenda. And you hear, a perfect example, you never see them. You saw what they put Trump through in a press conference. Biden, they don't even ask any questions, It's because they got what they wanted, and they're just moving it forward now. I've seen stories in the paper or in the mainstream media and in the paper that I know for a fact are not true. They're not true. And it's just, they're brainwashing people. For example, all this going on and, supposedly COVID is just so bad in India, everybody may need to shut down eventually again. and all this is crazy. But it was discovered that the same woman, like there was a picture of a woman dying in the street, and they really put that on the news and everything. Well, that same woman was dying in some other thing they had going on. You know, same woman.
Yeah. Right.
Every time there's a disaster, this woman's been on it, either dying in the street or something. Do you see how they're fooling people all the time? And people really think, you have a generation that really think that, you know, believe that this stuff is true. So it's a matter of, you know, staying away from mainstream media. You really have to, because they're lying.
I was before Trump became president, when he was running against Hillary, I said, I don't know if the guy's going to win or not. I don't know. But if he does, we will have a reprieve. Right?
I said
that. So he won. And things were going well. Now, again, Trump is a nut. Right? I mean, he's a nut.
Yeah.
He's a bully. He's a dictator to certain, you know, he's got dictator traits. But
right.
That
he's
said,
idolized too much. Yeah.
Right. He loves himself too much. Okay.
Yeah.
And we know all that. We know that. We know that. We're not saying he's the new Cyrus. No.
No.
He's
no,
no,
not at all.
No, he's nowhere near that. Come on. Don't get silly, folks. So we knew, but at least we said we have a better chance with him of getting things straightened out than with Hillary. So he comes into office, and what happens? Gasoline is at $2.10. The economy's humming. The pipeline from Canada's coming down. People got jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest unemployment for blacks, the lowest unemployment for Hispanics, the lowest unemployment for Asians. I mean, the country was humming. So what did the powers that be do? They sat down and they said, this guy's going to win again.
Yep.
And our global agenda is going to be postponed. If this guy, it's four more years of this guy. And then, you know, people are going to say he was right all along. Okay. Again, Trump is a nut. The Christian people who praise him and worship him, and they're all nutty. That whole evangelical advisory board, they're all nutty. We know that.
Correct. Yeah.
But we got a reprieve, right? We got a reprieve. So now, the powers that be, now this is me. Now this is not Sister Marie. This is me. I'm going to be nutty now. I'm going to say nutty things now. But this is me. Since they saw that he was going to win again, and that he had the best economy going, for better than Ronald Reagan's economy, better. Okay? And China was getting hit with those tariffs. China was bleeding money. Okay. So what happened? They sat down and they decided, now we're talking about the depopulation people, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the like a Ted Turner. He's into depopulating the planet, right? We heard him.
Yes.
It's on video. It's not a ghost. It's not, it's not an actor playing Ted Turner. It was Ted Turner, okay?
Yep.
So what did they decide to do? They decided to unleash this pandemic.
Yeah.
And the number one reason was to get Trump out.
Yep.
That was the number one
to
reason.
Get the agenda in. Yeah.
Right. To get them out so that they can bring in their glow. And this is why publican like George W. Bush, 43, he can't stand Trump.
Yeah.
He can't stand him. Because Trump mopped the floor with his baby brother, little Jed.
Yeah.
And told him that the family was worthless. The family had sold out America. And these globalists, why is Liz Cheney? Why is Trump fighting Liz Cheney? Because Liz Cheney represents her father, Halliburton, the globalist, right?
Yes.
You see?
That's
and,
right.
And Trump's out of office, but he's waging war to take her out. Because
right. She
is bringing that old agenda back. And you see, so
yeah. This
pandemic was a setup.
Yep.
This was,
and I can tell you, he actually said that. He made a statement, Trump. He said, it's not me they're after. It's you. I'm just standing in their way.
Right. Right.
That was the most...
So, yeah.
Probably
listen,
the most honest statement made.
Right. And that's listen, true. it doesn't take away from the fact that the guy's nutty.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But that's a true statement, though.
Right. He's got his issues, right? But
it is, and
so now he's priming himself for 2024. We might get another reprieve. We just might get, because this is like Rocky 1, Rocky 2, you know, where Rocky loses the first fight and then he comes back with because, again, what's at stake is if America is wiped out, game over.
Yeah.
And we know events. See, the only reason why we want more time is because we want more time to tell other people and win more souls. Because I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go. And your cat and your dog just said he's ready to go. Your dog just said I'm ready to go.
Chico. Yeah.
Yeah. He said I'm ready. He said let's go. So
we call him Chucky.
Chucky. There you go. Chucky's ready to go.
Well, he chases his older sister around the house and bites her, just nips at her to get her to play.
Right.
And he terrorizes her. So go ahead.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
So that's it. That's, you know, this pandemic, listen to me. This pandemic was scheduled. This wasn't an accident. This was planned.
Yeah.
Planned.
Well, that's why in the beginning of this, we said we want to give it a little time. We weren't even commenting on it until we were talking about it, but we wanted to see what happened next. That was our statement. Let's see what's happening next. Because we knew something was off, but, you know, it wasn't confirmed until, is this real? Is this going on? All this, we had those questions before we even said anything about it, you know, really. Because we knew that it just needed a little time to see what happened. And we were able to say, okay, is this real? Because it happened so fast.
Now, all those people that made money under Trump, all those people now are losing it. Why? Because they're getting it back through inflation.
Yep. That's right.
See what happened? You had some good years, and now through inflation, you lose everything. And now your property value even goes down. While your taxes go up, your property value goes down. Why? Inflation.
Yes. That's right.
That's it.
They devalue the property, but yet your taxable amount
go up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, because you're going to have to pay.
I saw that on my tax bill.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay for all these refugees that they're letting in now. So, I mean, they're getting $15,000 up front. Think about that.
That's
here you
shocking.
Are the taxpayer. Here you are the taxpayer, and the IRS sends you a check
Chico.
For $1,200. Chico's mad. He's mad. He wants to say, see, he wants to get on the show.
He has something. You know, now set the other one off. This is embarrassing. There's nobody here.
No, don't worry. Listen. They're just hoop and hollering like they were in church. That's all they're doing.
They think it was a Jehovah's Witness at the door. That's, you know.
Okay. Hey, go at them. Go at them.
Yes.
Go at them. All right.
So,
let's play this last segment here.
Yeah, all right.
We have some minutes. Let's play this last segment.
Americans and reality-challenged baby boomers need to wake up and smell the Constitution.
The famous quote from Franklin was that after he left the Constitutional Convention, he says, we've given you a republic if you can keep it. And obviously we haven't done a very good job.
I think if people want to live in a democracy or a republic such as ours, then they're more than free to do so, and we should lead by example, not by force.
Citizens need to get familiar with the original intent of the founders and realize that the forces of cultural Marxism have been raping and pillaging the United States for decades. But to realize the dream and keep this magnificent republic alive, all Americans need to do is take three steps. One, disconnect from all sources of cultural Marxist propaganda, media, and lifestyles. Two, don't patronize the largest Fed member banks and fascist multinational corporations. Three, connect up with the original intent of the founders and get active applying the U.S. Constitution. Americans and history-challenged baby boomers should understand what it means to be a self-governing nation. They need to understand the Constitution from a philosophical point of view, not just a mechanical point of view. Why were certain things emphasized and others not? Why is a well-regulated militia necessary to the security of a free state? Why is the term general welfare the only term that appears twice? What principles lay behind the Constitution and why? If citizens better understood these things, they would be able to go about their lives with a greater appreciation of the rare opportunity they have been given to live in the American experiment. Instead of pessimism, they would have the realization that America has just begun, that the future will be even more incredible than anyone imagined. Take three steps and it will happen. Yes, the cultural Marxists in the media and the universities will scream and dramatize. Yes, there will be a percentage of religious fanatics that attack the United States or hate us because we flourish and prosper. And yes, there will always be secular robots and iconoclasts that hate traditional values and deny America was populated by Christians or influenced by biblical principles. But the founders somehow knew all this, for they had studied thousands of years of history and countless failed civilizations. From these lessons, they built the Constitution of the United States, and this document has succeeded as no other. The blueprint for the longest-standing republic in history is in your hands. Eventually, even the cultural Marxists, the corporate fascists, the Islamic terrorists, and our current special interest-dominated Congress will see the light and become part of the general welfare. In the meantime, don't give liberty-challenged members of society the power to enslave us all just because a relative few have so little faith in the original intent of the founders and the United States Constitution.
The Constitution of the United States represents no threat whatsoever to our form of government.
Okay.
Yeah, to me, yeah, they're a little more optimistic. I think it, I do think you need to disconnect from the Marxist propaganda. I really do. The media and the left lifestyles. You have to leave a lot to do that. And not to patronize the largest Fed member bank, you know, and the fascist multinational corporations. But they closed everything else, so what are you going to do? You know, that they already got rid of the small business. You know, and when he talked with connect up with the original intent of the founders and get active applying the U.S. Constitution. You get labeled right now for doing that. You know, they call you, if you believe in the Constitution, you're labeled. One of the simplest things to me is to just live your life, trust the Lord. Just say no. There are certain things that you can just say no to. You can say no to, no matter what it costs you. And I want to make this point. Reading and interpreting the Constitution is easy. If you read it, we don't need a Supreme Court for that, to do that for us. I mean, you can read it yourself. I have a booklet here, the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution. I think everyone should have one. The Supreme Court is to uphold the letter of the law that's already written, not to change the laws. And they're not deciding laws. They're to uphold the laws that are already in place. And they're not doing that. So, you know, maybe they're optimistic. I'm not. Because I think it's gone too far. And I think looking at the next generation and the spending and all this right now, I don't know how to get that back. I don't know if that'll come back. I really don't. Because how do you do that?
Well, look at the effects right now. I mean, Biden came in and he starts giving out all this cash. Okay, mm-hmm. Look at now. I'm not reporting it. The news media's are reporting it. There is inflation.
Yes.
Inflation.
Yeah.
Now your dollars get you less.
Yep. Yep.
You know, again, so this is what happens when you force a shutdown. People said, I want to go to work. I'm going out of my mind. I'm going crazy. My kids are going crazy. I want to go back to work. My kids want to go back to school. And then you force us to stay home. Then you pump all this money into the what? Into the monetary system.
Now
I got my little check. But I can't buy much with it.
That's right.
And people are saying, I went to get gas this morning because my wife was going to take my daughter to the doctor. I went to get gas, and yesterday it was $2.97. Today I go pump gas. It was $3.03. I said, darn it.
Yeah.
I should have put gas in yesterday.
Didn't learn that lesson, did you?
Right. Six cents. It went up 6 cents overnight. And I'm saying, what?
That's right.
You see, inflation. Inflation.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Inflation plus the fact that they're shutting down. See, they shut down the pipeline. So now we were the number one energy producer in the world under Trump. Now Biden is shutting everything down.
Yes, the pipeline here, I know our governor's trying to shut the entire pipeline down. Well, how are we going to get gas, for the homes?
Gas prices are going to go sky high.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to happen.
That's right.
So the money that you made under Trump, your little stimulus, wow, I'm doing great. Well, now they got it back. How did they get him back? They caused the inflation. That's how they made it. That's how they got a wealth transfer.
That's
right.
Those
are the little games that these people play.
Well, it's horrible, but it is what it is, and we need to be thankful we have the Lord during this, because people, there's a lot of people out there struggling that don't have the Lord. And we can trust him during this, no matter what. As time goes on, I trust any form of government, anybody less and less all the time. The Lord said, trust no man, and I'm at that point. Because, even with doctors, I look at all these people that try to push you into things as globalists, I mean, they're part of the agenda. I can kind of say this person's a part of it, this person isn't. People that question it all, you know, I'm for that. You know, they need to think what's going on. And when they question things, that's a good thing. It's being painted as bad, you know, but it's a good thing to question everything and to think about it. But technically, down the line, I really don't trust who's in and who isn't, because it seems like we're surrounded by those people. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's just crazy. It's just you know.
Well, I was
like
looking at Psalm 38, 19, and 20, and David said, "But my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied." Verse 20, it says, "Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good." And
right.
To me, they hated David because he did the right thing. And evil will always hate an image bearer of God. That's the way it's going to be, you know. And in Psalm 38, when you look at it, you see a lot of things. You see humility, him waiting on God, an answer, and anxiety in that psalm. And I think we've always had adversaries. This is just, you know, to me, they're growing strong. They're strong. They've multiplied. You know, that's, you know, that,
yeah.
To me, that scripture, you know, I really saw, you know, in there when he's saying, my enemies have multiplied. You know, they hate
right.
me wrong. You know, and it was all about good and evil and multiplying. You know, the enemies were getting big, more and more. They were more vigorous. They were stronger. And I think that's what we see.
Right.
I do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In Revelation 13, the devil is by himself until then he calls up the beast out of the sea, and then he calls up the beast out of the land. And as you can see, the enemies of the church in that one chapter multiply. So,
yes.
It's coming down the pike. Listen, this was a great show. Thank you, Chico, for,
for your being your amen.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Thank you, Chico. Chico and the man. Great show. And as always, we'll see you back here next Tuesday, Lord willing, to do the next part in this series on cultural Marxism. And you, my dear sister, have the last word.
Well, my last word is this. I think I'm going to squeeze a new show in, and then I really have a good – I think what I'm going to do is put an actual former Marxist on. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see which way the Lord wants me to go. But there is a lot of news we need to talk about, too, if I might squeeze one in. Have a great week. I wish you the best. Take care, and we'll see you then. Bye.
And Saints, don't forget tomorrow, Sister AJ, at 2 o'clock. God bless you.
Yep.
Tell me what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh. Our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain. God and prayer. Tell me how we trials and temptations. never be discouraged. Come on and take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Come and take it to the Lord. Yeah.